Welcoming you to another weekend of exposition. We are praying today that the Lord will use the foolishness of the preaching to bring illumination. You know, while he was talking with them, so he opened their eyes. So as we go through the scriptures from the Old Testament and New Testament, trying to understand the prayer in the New Covenant, we pray that your eyes will be opened.
Amen.
Last weekend, if you were with us, we were still on the knockout season on prayer, and we have so many episodes on that, in case you just join and you really don't know where you are with us. Mm. It's better, the way you can know where you are is to go to the 247 page and see the episodes, the ones you've missed, so you can go back and listen to them and some other series, because we still have these questions of where can we get other topics and everything like that. So I'm just reminding you again and answering that question. You can find it on our page and some of the other teachings as well. So last weekend, we talked about finding the right balance in place of prayer, and we went to the book of Ephesians and some other books in the New Testament. And on Sunday, while we stopped, we talked about knowing your enemy, you know, that is the thing. Don't get in the wrong fight. I'm not sure if you'll be following. There's going to be a one boxing match tomorrow, and I think everybody is talking about it, and I think we can really apply it to what we say. That no matter how one opponent is training or something, no matter what you're doing to prepare for a fight, you need to even understand the game of your enemy to understand how it works, and then so you can build a proper defense. And last Sunday we were talking about it, knowing the whys, because we reconciled the two facts about are we fighting the enemy, are we fighting the whys or the schemes. So you really know how to know the game, how he plays his game, and know the why, so you don't get in the wrong ring, you don't get in the wrong fight. So that's what we talked about last Sunday. If you've not listened to that, then you can listen to it on our Exposé page. So we're going to continue from that. Do you have anything to add to that?
Well, viewers, thank you again for tuning into this knockout series. Now, even though we've been going through this knockout series for quite some weeks, we don't want our viewers to forget the vision behind this knockout series. We are actually starting from Colossians 2, chapter 8, where the Bible says, "Be aware that lest no man spoil you of your inheritance in Christ through vain philosophies and the traditions of men." Again, you know, so most of us, if we have a thief coming into our house to take or steal our property, we will not take it lightly. We will put up a fight. But notwithstanding, in the body of Christ, people listen to things, we hear things. And the Bible says in Colossians 2:8 that things you listen to, wrong ideologies, false mentalities, they can steal your goods and steal the inheritance that Christ uses life and his sacrifice to pay for. And that's what we are targeting, those false ideologies, knocking them out by the reality of the Word of God. And so if you are wondering what are we doing, that's what we're doing. And today we're going to carry on from our last transmission, where we actually talked about the fact that you need to know your enemy and get out of the wrong fight. Most Christians have listened to spiritual warfare. In fact, there are books written on spiritual warfare. But unfortunately, most of those books and most of those teachings and messages are actually focusing us on the wrong enemy. And that's what we're redirecting on, focusing you back to who the real enemy is. How do you win a battle? How do you walk in victory if you're fighting the wrong person? And that's where we stopped. And today we're going to carry on from there today. And we're looking to something deeper and something more insightful. So we've been looking at Ephesians chapter 6. And that's where we stopped. Now, you see, before we carry on today, I want to just give a kind of backdrop so that you can know what's actually happening. If you notice, Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 12, when he tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. You see, what you would notice there is, because we said something last transmission, you're wondering, what are we talking about? We said the devil is not the actual thing we are fighting against. Because Ephesians 6 tells us one thing. It says there is a who that we are fighting, and there's a what that we are fighting. And don't get it mixed up. There's a who and there's a what. It tells us that, of course, we are fighting, we are wrestling against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against rulers of darkness of this world. That's the who that we are fighting. But you see, there's a what. The what means, Bible says, take on the full armor of God so that you can withstand the schemes. That's the thing that we are fighting. That's the what. It means our enemy doesn't actually come at us force for force. Our enemy doesn't come at us fire for fire. He doesn't do it. What he does is it comes with what? With schemes. It is the schemes that we are actually fighting. We've established this in our last transmission. Please, if you missed that, please do check up on that. So today we'll carry on And I would say follow us quickly to Ephesians 6 verse 13. That's what we're going on with today. Mm-hmm. Now look at what it says. It says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." Now please, if you, whatever translation you have, some translation will use the word full hammer. Some will say whole hammer. Some will say complete hammer. It means the scriptures leaves us no option of saying I'm going to pick few of them. I'll pick 90% of the hammer. It says we need to take off all of the hammer of God so that you can withstand in the evil day. It means, it says, if you're going to stand, if you're going to actually walk in victory, if you will not be a victim, it means you have to take on not almost all the hammer. You've got to take the full one, the complete hammer. But you see, there's something it says there, which is quite very encouraging for those of us who know the victory of Christ. See what it says. It says, "And having done all to stand." You know, people talk about the fact that you couldn't guarantee that you would not be a victim. Some even say, well, if it happened to that pastor, or if it happened to that minister, or we've heard about it happened to a Christian, that the enemy had a field day in their lives, or something happened to them, and they became a victim of situations. And he says, what makes you different that it wouldn't happen to you? What makes you think your case is different? Well, the Bible tells us, it says, having done all, it says what? To stand. You know what it means? He's telling you that if you do all, if you take on the full armor, the Bible says, I give you a guarantee that having done all, you're going to stand. Can you see that? It means this is not a matter of probability. This is a matter of chance. It says, well, the reason why somebody will end up not standing is they did it, but they didn't do all. See, having done all to stand. God has guarantees. The Lord God of glory has guarantees. That's why, you see, if you read the book of Peter, he said something. He said, he gave us guarantees. He said, if all these things, as in 2 Peter 1, I think, he said, if all these things are in you and they are bound, he said, they will guarantee that you don't fall. See, there are guarantees of the realm of the Spirit. Guarantees that you can take to the bank and say, well, you know what? If I do these things, the Lord told me that having done all, I will stand. So it means the reason why such a transmission today is not something you can take with levity. The reason why such a transmission we're having today is not something you can take for granted. The only guarantee that the Lord gives you and I is, he said, if we do what? All. We have Christians who are putting on the hammer of God. We have Christians who are taking on God's hammer. That's not a problem. But what seems to be the problem is people don't take up the full hammer. And Ephesians 6:13 repeats, he said, having done all. See, please, I want that word all to be magnified in what you are hearing today. He didn't say that if you do it, if you put on the hammer, he didn't say you would stand. He says, having done all. It would mean that you and I will have to know every single item of the armory. You and I will have to know every single detail of the armory if we will guarantee that we will stand in this day, this evil day. So please, what he says is, having done all to stand. Now, if you want to flip that backwards, having not done all, no guarantee to stand. That's why this transmission today is something you want to sit back, meditate on, and listen to, and lay hold on it. You want something to say something?
No.
Now, so that's what we're saying. Now, if you notice, and then he goes to the next verse, verse 14. Now, I want you to highlight that word, having done all to stand. Verse 14, see what it says. It says, stand therefore. It means, I will tell you how to do the standing. Mm-hmm. Now, don't forget, again, we have what we are fighting. And we says what we are fighting is the scheme of the devil. Please, if you're wondering where we got that from, Ephesians 6:11 tells us, no Christian is directly fighting Satan. I know some Christians think that the devil is their problem. We've established in the last transmission that the Bible says in Colossians 2, you can read from verse 8 to verse 16, that having spoiled principalities and powers, Jesus spoiled them. In fact, we went to detail of how he made a public shame of them. He spoiled him. He triumphed over him by the victory of the cross. So listen, you have not been called to fight the devil. That's what Jesus did. If you want to fight the devil, you want to take up the work of Jesus. 1 John 3:8, you know what it says? For this purpose, yes, was Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So listen, destroying the devil is not your job. Don't take up Jesus' job. He's done it already over 2,000 years ago. What is your job? Your job is to take your stand, not against the devil, against the schemes of the devil. Ephesians 6:11. So, let's get back to business. Ephesians 6, 14 then says, I'll tell you how to do your job. Jesus did his job. Let's talk about your job. Your job is to deal with the schemes. See what he said you should do about dealing with him. Now, Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore. Can you see? Having your loins. Now, you see, there's something I wanted to take note of this armory. I don't forget, you couldn't even take 4 out of 6 of this armory, or 5 out of 6. I use the word 6 because there are 6 of them. The only guarantee you have today to survive is all.
Yeah, before you go, I mean, just want to drop this. Like, before we go into verse 14, it's not enough to just know about the armories that they do exist and know the numbers. Mm. You know, some people don't even know the full list. Mm. Some are only familiar with 1 or 2. Some are specialists in 1 or 2, and because of that, they want to run off. Mm. It's just the only one they know. But we found out in verse 13 that we have been encouraged. The only guarantee we have of standing is when we have all of this. Mm. Having done all, knowing, having taken all, you take it up all, even understanding, working in that full armory. And we now see verse 14, which is very, very important, is about how to use it. Avoid uses where you have an armory, you don't even know how to apply it, how to use it. Mm. The correct application is just like not having at all. Mm. If somebody cannot use this, so it's what they have. If you don't even understand the knowledge how it should be used, it's not, it's wrongly used, you know, it's just as it's as good as not having any at all. Mm. So that's what I think, that's what verse 14 wants to tell us, what to do with it, with this all, and how to go about this all. Mm. Not just knowing, not just mental accepting to it and accepting that, yes, there is this, I'm going to take up it, but how do you do it?
Thank you for that. Thank you for that insight. Now, you see, before we actually go into this verse 14, because verse 14 is where the real business starts, how to, you know, put on this full armor. Before we go into this, don't forget that we are still laying emphasis on what we are fighting, which is the schemes of the devil. So now look at verse 14. Stand therefore. Now I will do something like a snapshot of this all of this armory and begin to show you why they are different from each other and the uniqueness of each of them. I will start to break them down one by one so that our viewers can understand what it means to take on this full armor. And don't forget, that's the guarantee that you will still be standing, the last man standing, after all has been said and done. Look at verse 14. I'll read verse 14, 15, 16, 17, a snapshot, and we'll come back again. Because I want to point out something very important. Look at what it says. Stand therefore, having your loins, verse 14, girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, if you notice from verse 14 to verse 13 to verse 14 and 15, have you noticed that we've mentioned 3 armories now? The first one is your loins, girt about with truth. And you are having the blessed plate of righteousness. And then your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Now, have you noticed that there's a switch of language from verse 16? Look at verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith. And then what is the next thing?
Wherefore, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Okay.
Verse 17.
Go on.
And take the helmet.
Have you noticed then? Have you noticed that verse 16 and verse 17 keep saying take, take? That's to tell you a switch of language. The first 3 that he talked about were things that you're supposed to have on 24/7. It was like your standpoint, your position, your mentality, your way of life. Those first three armory were just a way of life. Your the belt of truth, it talks about, also breastplate of righteousness, and then also what?
Your feet.
These are your perpetual state. And then if you notice from the next verse, 16, 17, then it says, well, then take this one, as situation demands. You can see, even though there are 6 armories, the first 3 seems to be the ones that your current state. The state you should be perpetually, your standpoint, your position, 24/7. And then the last 3 were supposed to be taken as situation what? Demands. So you can see that's why I began to say that you need to take on what? The full armor. One doesn't even make up for the other one. So let's kick start with the first armor, which is the one in verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now the question I'm asking is, why would the Apostle Paul come up with this hammer as the very first one? Doesn't sound to me that if somebody put on the belt, your loins on the belt, I'm not sure whether if you see someone coming from afar, that the very first thing you see on them will be their belt. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really sound that like that, isn't it? I mean, why would this be the very first armory that the Apostle Paul said, well, if you're going to even talk about this at all, this is the very first thing. This is the key thing. This is the reason, and that's what we're going to focus on today. It says what? Have your loins girt about with truth. It says this is the principal thing. This is the first thing. This is the first principles of the warfare. It has to be truth. It has to be you taking on truth. And why would he talk about this? Now, let's say this quickly. Because we said the devil has been defeated. In fact, because Satan has been what? Put to shame on the cross. But let us point out something about the name of Satan. You see the word Satan, if you have a Greek concordance, and if you read it and you check out the word that was translated devil or Satan, it's the word diabolos, where we get the word in English diabolic from. And what does that tell you? You can call it diabolos. That's what Satan is in Greek. And the word diabolos, which is where we get the word die, you know, di, you know, die means two. And the word division, anything about die, I mean, has to be two. And his name in Greek means the liar, the deceiver, the person that gives you the second option or the second opinion of whatever God said. He's called Diabolus. He's called Satan. That's where the word. In fact, when he was named Satan, that was what God had in mind, that he that offers alternative truth to whatever I said. That is what his name means. Why am I talking about this? Why does the Apostle Paul said the very first thing you must take on in warfare, before we talk about anything else, is you must have the belt of truth. This must be your standpoint every time if you're going to stand in victory over Satan in your life. Now, this is the reason. Let scriptures interpret scripture. Why a Christian must take up truth, and what is this truth he's talking about? Let's read Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Now, I want you to follow this as we begin to look at what the scripture has to say about Satan and how we can stand in victory against the devil.
Hebrews 2.
You can read it, yes.
Verse 14.
Yeah, from verse 14, please. Now, let's watch this. Yes.
For as much then,
good,
as the children,
yes, please,
are partakers of flesh and blood,
okay,
he also himself,
that's him, that's Jesus himself,
Likewise. Took part of the same. That through death, he might destroy,
yes,
him that had the power of death, that is the devil.
Can you see that? You know, we've been talking about the fact that Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. Oh, Jesus destroyed the power of the devil. Colossians 2:15. Now, Hebrews 2:14 tells us how he did it. He said he did it by, actually what? By dying. I mean, how do you destroy something by, how do you destroy death by becoming what you destroyed? Now, you're wondering how? Because I think as Christians, I've found out a lot of Christians, those seem to have a strong revelation of the victory of Christ on the cross. How can Christ destroy the person that has the power of death by dying? Well, for those that are involved in warfare, in the realm of the natural, they know what we call infiltration. He infiltrated the camp of the enemy. The Bible says he died and he went to what? Into the grave. And he took the keys of what? Death and hell from the enemy. Jesus, by his own death, by actually becoming like one of us, entered the camp of the enemy, infiltrated the camp of the enemy, and destroyed him who has the power of death. That is what? The devil. Now, that's not even where I'm going to. We've actually dealt with this in the last transmission. Look at what it says next. Now, watch this. He destroyed him, that's the power of death, the devil.
Verse 15.
Now watch verse 15. Now, don't forget, verse 14 says, Jesus destroyed him, that he destroyed the devil. By what? By dying as well. He destroyed him, that's the power of death, through his own what?
Death.
His own death. He went into the camp of the enemy and destroyed him from inside. Don't forget that. Now look at what the next verse says. I think that should have been enough, right? But see what the next verse says. This is where it concerns you. And I. Now see what it says. What does it say next?
And delivered them.
Now can you see that? It was not enough that Christ had to destroy the devil. It wasn't just enough that Christ had to destroy him who was the power of death, the devil. See what he had to do next. Go on, please.
And delivered them.
Now he delivered them. He had to do something to them. Who is the dead? That is you and I. He did something to us. And I'll tell you the reason. Go on, please.
Who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
By what? Who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Can you see? The two-way mission of Christ. It means it wasn't that he destroyed what? Him that has the power of death, the devil. But he had to do something to people who were subject to bondage because of their fear of what?
Death.
It means there is something about humanity, there's something about you and I that makes us subject to the devil. It's not that the devil wasn't destroyed. It destroyed him, that the power of death, the devil. It destroyed him completely. But he said there's something in men that gives Satan the hold, the access to manipulate them, to lie to them, to put them in fear and subjection. He said Christ had to deal with the devil and Christ had to deal with men. Why? Unless he dealt with men, Satan will still have inroad. He said the devil hides. The devil covers himself with lies. That's why Satan doesn't have the power over you anymore. Because he has been what? Destroyed. All Satan is left to do is to what? Is to deceive, is to lie to us about the truth of God's word, so that even though he has been destroyed, he can drag us into his territory by lying and going against the truth of the word of God in our lives. It means in every aspect of your life, in every situation of your destiny, if you buy into the lie of Satan, if you don't listen to the truth of the word of God, even though he has been what? Destroyed. He can drag you into this territory and he can deceive you and he can lie to you. That's why the Bible says one thing here, that Jesus didn't just destroy the devil, but he had to minister to us as well, so that we don't become what? Subject. Because the devil is a deceiver. He's a liar. He hides under lies. And that's what the Bible is telling us that.
We cannot agree about how important first principle has always been in physics and everywhere. We know first principle. So in warfare, first principle is very, very important. And that's why the book of Ephesians is drawing us to it. And it's talking about the belt of truth. And thank God you mentioned it and throwing the nature of Satan. We even find Jesus who exposed him and said he's the father of light. And from the beginning, he's been lying, because you find him, he's shrouded in secrecy throughout the whole Testament. And that's why even some people today are still confused about the nature of the devil. They really don't know how he was even working then. And even now, some don't even know how it is. And that is one of the purposes of that Christ came to do. Apart from he exposed him. So he's the father of lies. So he's the father of lies. If you don't know anything about him and some other things, you really don't. You shouldn't forget that he's the father of lies. And you cannot overcome his lies by not having the truth. So you can understand the importance of the belt of truth today, because we are talking about somebody who manufactures lies. He's the author of lies. So we are talking about what we are fighting at, with the wise on the scheme. So we're telling you that we are talking about somebody that produces, is the author of lies. And so we know that lies is one of the scheme. I think that's what he does. That's the major scheme. That's the only scheme he has. He's the father of it. So, and that is why it's not appropriate for you to think that belt of truth is an appropriate weapon for what he does, which is lie. And so you cannot afford not to pay attention to the first principle in this warfare, which is the belt of truth, to understand, to dismantle all the lies. He has been lying over the years. He's lying through Adam and Eve. He's lying and he's still lying now. And then the only thing you can harm yourself is harm yourself with the knowledge of God's word, which is the truth. And then you allow the Holy Spirit to lighten up in that place, and you don't allow him to hide in any other place. Again, the light of God's word has come. Christ has come, so it should be exposed, and that is the putting on the helmet. And then if you will permit me to talk more about this belt of truth, and why does it have to be like a belt? Why do you have to wear that truth? So I would just say, it's not just about, we own, from that verse 13, 14, it was telling you that lines get about with truth. So why? That this truth cannot be like on your face, like a face mask or something. We say this truth is like a belt. It's something that you have to hold your loins together. If you remember some of the episodes that we're talking about the fasting and praying, about holding up our affections, holding up our, you know, the hunger, and you know where the loins is. It's about the seat for everything, the emotions, every appetite, hunger, sexual, anything, every appetite is from your mind, from your loins, both ways, everything together. So you really need to have the belt of truth, God's word, to hold those things in reins, in place. You have that belt of truth sitting on those ambitions, where your emotions and your reactions are, your aspirations, your hunger for anything. You have the belt of truth in control in those places. What is informing you? What is informing your response? What is feeding you in? So you really need the belt of truth on that. So it's not coming as a face mask. It's not something you just use as cosmetics. It's not something you just use around and just is an addendum, an assemblage you can just add about it. It's where it's to hold something together. And it's this belt of truth to hold you together, hold things in place, putting you in place and in shape. You know how what bet does normally, because there's some people might not understand that this gat means like belt. So to hold you in shape, you need it to be fitted and kitted. So
I see there are two things that based on what you just said, before we go back to Hebrews 2:14, have you noticed then that if you're dressing up to go anywhere, your belt perpetually stays in your club? I mean, if you don't have a belt around your loins or whatever, what happens is you're very clothing. If you have trousers on, whatever you have, you can actually trip off by the very thing you're wearing. Somebody doesn't need to shoot at you. You don't need to have the enemy coming at you for you to trip off and fall. Okay, you see, the very fact that you are loosely clothed and you are not held up tight smartly, the way you've dressed can by its own very nature trip you off. It would mean then for Christians to actually fall and falter in spiritual warfare. The devil doesn't need to throw anything. Mm-hmm. If we are loosely held, if the clothes are loosely held, there's no what smartness. We are not guided together with the belt. Even without the enemy shooting anything at us, we can trip off by the very fact that we are not what smartly dressed. And that's why the Apostle Paul comes with that very first principles of warfare, that without truth, you don't need the enemy to shoot anything. That's why, if you notice, in that Ephesians 6, it was later, he talked about the fiery darts of what? Of the wicked. There were no fiery darts. He said, well, if you don't have the loins of belt of truth around your loins, you don't even need Satan to come at you. By the very fact that you are loosely dressed and unsmartly dressed, you can trip up by yourself. And that's what we see there.
So let the truth of the word put you in shape, you know, that's the thing. Let the truth of the word shapes you. Mm. Let the truth of the word shapes your thought. Mm. Let it shapes your rehearsals. Let it shape your response. Let it shape your ambition and every appetite. Let everything be out together by God's word. Whatsoever you're believing, whatsoever you're giving yourself to, whatsoever you want to put in or put out, let the truth of God's word, let it be the bedrock. Let it be the one that is holding everything together. And that is how to be fully kitted. That's one of the armory. That's what we're talking about, and the first principle about it. And then you know how important truth is to lie. You can only defeat a lie by the truth. So that's what he said. No matter how long, there's a proverb that the falsehood goes. One day it might even go for years and decades, but one day that truth will catch up. Just you need truth. That's the only thing that you can use against the lies of the enemy. And some things you might be ignorant of. Maybe you have allowed the enemy to run rampant in your life based on the lies. It's having a field day. So today you are going to understand God's word and going to bring up God's word, lighten up, and say, yes, this is the truth of God's word. And that is where the warfare is for you. Because you're saying, get out of the wrong fight. And you're coming to the right fight is about knowing the truth and holding the truth of God's word against, above all the lies of the enemy.
Amen. Now, please, viewers, we're going somewhere today and we don't want you to lose track. Again, I feel the Holy Ghost still refocusing us back to Hebrews 2:14.
Okay.
And I'm going to take that, the second part of Hebrews 2:14, and go into our dimension of this discussion today. See what it says again. Now, if you look at that, that 2:14 that you read, it says, he also likewise took part of the same, that's Jesus, that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, the devil. So let's say the devil has been destroyed. Now, the question I want to ask you, viewers, is, did Jesus Christ die? Did he go to the cross? Did he suffer the suffering of death? If you believe that, the Bible says through his death, he already then must have destroyed him. That has the power of death, the devil. So it means that is no more our problem. See, we don't have any problem with that anymore. Now, you might be saying, but please, why are you saying this? Am I not still being afflicted? People are talking about demonic affliction.
No.
You might be listening to this transmission today and you're having demonic affliction. You might have satanic affliction. You might have things that are happening to you that cannot be explained by natural means. Oh, well, just wait.
Especially for those who are asking for prayers about some, or even specifically.
You might say, well, you have enough evidence to show that whatever is happening to you cannot be merely be natural. But you see, your experience cannot negate the reality of God's word. The scripture says in Hebrews 2:14 that all that he needed to destroy the devil, mark the word, to destroy him, that has the power of death, the devil. The him is what I wanted to take note of, to destroy him. It means, he says, all that was needed to destroy him was for Jesus to die. So if you believe that Christ died, then you have to believe that Hebrews 2:14 says, him, that's the devil, was destroyed. That's fine. But I want to bring your attention to the next verse. Look at the next verse. I'll take that slowly and deliver them. Now that brings you into the equation. He said, let's talk about you. He said, verse 14 says, well, we've talked about the person that was destroyed. But let's talk about you. Before the person that was destroyed, he had two ministries. Satan has his own power. That was one thing. And secondly, he was using something on us. Look at what it says. And they delivered them, who through fear of what? Death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Did you notice that the reason they were subject to bondage was not because the devil was the one holding the power of death over them? No. He says they were all their lifetime subject to bondage because something was thrown at them. Now watch that. They were all their lifetime subject to bondage because something was thrown at them. I'll take this slowly because we're in a very deeper side of things now. So that if you've been held by the power of darkness, you will listen to this today and walk free.
Amen.
Have you noticed that when Jesus destroyed him, that's the power of death, the devil. That should have been the end of the story. Jesus should have said, oh yes, I've destroyed Satan. Everybody, you're free. But Hebrews 2:14 says, not too fast. He destroyed him, that's the devil. And he went ahead to minister to them who were held in bondage, not because of the fact that the devil held them bound. If it was just the devil holding them bound, then they have no problem because him was what?
Destroyed.
But he said, no, that's not all, not the end of the story. Then God had to go ahead in Christ to say, well, let's talk to people who have been held in bondage, not because the devil had the power over them, but because of their own fear. Yes. Something, the devil was throwing something at them, even though the devil was not sitting on their head, he was throwing schemes at them. In fact, Ephesians 6 tells us, that verse 13, we're not ignorant of the wise. The word wise in Greek means methodia, of the methods. So it means some people were held in bondage of death because Satan was throwing something at them from a distance. The fear of death, the wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil, the methodia of Satan. He was flinging something at people from a distance. And that's the reason why as soon as Christ destroyed him, Christ had to come and minister to us. So there's something he is throwing at you. And unless I minister to you and destroy that what is in you as well, what happens is you will still be in bondage even though I destroy the devil. I'm not sure whether we're listening to that.
I think you might need to take it again.
Hebrews 2:14. Because we're going to come to you if you're having any demonic affliction in your life. This is the reality of the word. That even though Jesus, I'm quoting Hebrews 2:14, Jesus destroyed him that has the power of death, the devil. So the devil was destroyed on the cross. Colossians 2:15 attested to that. He was destroyed. 1 John 3:8 attested to that. He was destroyed. But before Satan was destroyed, Satan wasn't just attacking humanity directly. He was also throwing something at humanity. He was throwing schemes. So the Bible said, as soon as Satan was destroyed in Hebrews 2:14 through the death of Jesus, Hebrews 2:15 said, now even though Satan has been destroyed, he said we were still not free. Can you see? Humanity was still not free. This is the kind of question people are asking today. That if it is true that the Bible says the devil had been destroyed, if ministers are telling you and I, or if the word of God says clearly that Satan has been destroyed, how come today you are hearing about things that the devil is doing? How come today Christians are still binding devils? How come today we are still casting out devils? If you are asking that question, herein is your answer. The Bible says, even though the devil was destroyed, but Satan was throwing something at us, even though he is no more what in charge of our lives. But what he threw at us is still in charge. The Bible says, so Jesus had to then minister to them who were held in bondage, not because the devil sat on their head, but because of their fear of death. It means Satan succeeded in throwing something. Up to today, that's what the reality is. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 6:13, take on the full armor of God so that you can withstand what Satan is throwing. So that you can withstand the schemes of the devil. So it means this is what the word of God says. You want to listen to that? That's the reason why we are here today, to expose this and to release you from what is throwing at you. Because what is straying at you is enough to keep you in what? In bondage. Hebrews 2:15.
We can rightly extrapolate that this fear that we find in this Hebrew chapter 2 that is sitting on the heads of the people is one of the schemes of the devil.
That's why he says they are schemes, not what?
And that's the product of his falsehood. And the way that is about coming is not that Jesus needs to die again. Some might feel, does he need to die again for that? And no, it's the knowledge, because it's like holding the falsehood that is on them. The fear is the product of his falsehood. And so it's not that Jesus needs to die again for that to be accomplished. It is the way out is the truth. The way out of that bondage of fear is the truth of God's word. And so unless you know that, those ones who had that thing on their head will not be able to walk free. And so that's why the truth of God's word is just the antidote for that bondage of fear. You know, we have scripture that says he has not given you the spirit of fear and everything. So if you have the truth of God's, of that word, then you know that it doesn't have this on you again. It doesn't have this on you. Just like it is a worst tactic and everything to insist that people have something on people, and so they hold them back. You know, basically they're not holding because they have some information on them. You know, it's one of the worst strategy. You know, what has been really has moved away from you face me, I face you, you shoot at this and everything. We see nations, even cold wars, people are using informations against each other,
and so they're holding information. And say that if they're going to hold some information about you,
they use just information. So if you are wondering what's the power of information as a warfare strategy, you might. So it's you don't underplay. Don't underplay informations. Don't underplay. We see nations have been surrendered when they should not, because maybe they had an information over and they're using that. So the power of information is as binding as anything. And the power of information can liberate, as the saying. So it's the power of God's information that can liberate a soul. And the power of information used by the devil can put somebody in bondage forever. So you cannot really underestimate what information is. So if they are being held, that is the information the devil is using over them on their heads. And so they are being
held. Even though he had been destroyed, but he already threw something.
He has something on them. So that is it. He's using that thing on them. And so many people have been held down, blackmailed because of something. That are being held today, and so they need the light. They need another information.
You know, that's what I said. He said he ministered to them who all their lives. Can you see? Christ had to minister to them who all their lives were in subject to bondage because of what was thrown at them. Christ had to, and that's see what we are doing today is a ministration to your destiny.
Yes, we're bringing the truth of God's word.
Can you see? A lot of Christians are focused on the wrong thing. You're focused about fighting the devil, him that has been destroyed. You should be focused on the ministration upon your life. That liberates you from that which is subjecting you to bondage. And the Bible says the fear of something, the fear of death. I mean, it means that you're being blackmailed, information blackmail. This is why we are focusing on today in this expose, on this knockout series today. So it means...
Today we are releasing light.
It means that Satan doesn't have the power we are costing him or the power we are giving to him. You see, there's something that C.S. Lewis said in this one of his books, on the screw tapes, and in the introduction in that book, he said there are two things that works on all of humanity about the devil. He said the very first thing is some people overestimate the power of Satan. We overestimate, overestimation, and then which leads to superstition. And he says which is what you find in a lot of third world countries. I mean, Latin America, in Africa, Asia, in most cases, people overestimate the power of the devil. In fact, some people still think that the devil is kicking and is powerful and has the power of what? Death. The Bible says he destroyed him. That's Jesus. Hebrews 2:14 that has the power of what? Death. You can't overestimate. In fact, in Ephesians 6:13 and there he says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And he told you the things that you will do that will guarantee you will stand. Sorry, he's not that as strong and powerful as you think he is. But he says the other opposite is the other direction is people that will underestimate. They're our enemy. And some people even say, we don't even believe that the devil exists. Everything must have a natural cause. They try to explain everything up by science and by philosophy and by psychology and sociology. Every disease, every sickness, they try to give a scientific explanation for it.
And it ends only there.
And it ends only there. And you see, the devil doesn't really care. The devil doesn't care whether people over... In fact, to Satan, overestimating him and underestimating him, both are good for the devil. As long as we're not walking in truth, Satan is fine. So we have come today to tell you the fact that the Bible says him that has the power of death destroyed.
It's destroyed.
You cannot, he is destroyed. I don't care whether you're having nightmares, whether you have been attacked in the dream, whether you have been attacked demonically, I don't care what is happening to you. Now we will give an explanation for your experience very soon from the word. will give an explanation for what you're going through, what you're going through spiritually. There's an explanation for that. But it cannot be because Hebrews 2:14 is a lie. Because Hebrews 2:14 says, him that has the power of death, destroyed. How was it destroyed? Through the death of Christ. So if Christ died, then him that has the power of death, destroyed. Now what is left? But it says before he was destroyed, he left something on humanity. He dropped something on us before he was destroyed. And that's the thing we are trying to get off now. He dropped something. The fear. The Bible said he dropped it on humanity. So even though he's left the scene of power by the death of Christ, he's got something still walking around. And that's why the Apostle Paul made mention of the very first hammer, the belt of truth.
Yes.
He made mention of that first one. Now it would mean then anything you are going through couldn't be the fact that Satan made it happen. And let's say this, from what we see in the Word of God, and I think we should actually look at one more verse before we come to a conclusion.
Okay.
Ephesians 4:27. I want to show you, like we said, how Satan works. Why must you and I take on the belt of truth? The Bible calls him a deceiver, a liar, diabolos. He is a liar. Now see what Ephesians 4, now, from verse 26, please. Now, I want you to take that slowly so our viewers can listen to this.
Verse 26.
Now, slowly, yes. Now, watch this.
Be ye hungry.
Be hungry.
And sin not.
And don't sin.
Let not the sun go down upon your wrath.
Okay.
Verse 27.
Yes, please.
Neither give place to the devil.
Now, please watch that. Watch that. He's saying something. He says, you can be angry, but don't sin. But he said, let not the sun, go down on your anger. He's simply saying, well, if you are angry, nothing bad with it. But if you could sustain your anger for that long, could it not mean then that you have a legitimate reason, or you have convinced yourself of a reason why you have to stay what? Angry. And he says, if that's happening, then there is about to be a foothold for the devil. Now, why did I go to all this illustration? It would mean that when you were angry, the Bible didn't talk about the devil. Can you see that? I want to tell you about why we can overestimate the power of Satan. And I'll tell you how Satan works by the word. It means then, when you are angry, the devil was not mentioned. What Satan does is to come in into the anger situation and lie to you about. That's why the Bible calls him the deceiver.
Father of lies.
The father of lies. What he does to people, anytime people have any form of emotional reaction, emotional situation, the Bible says if you could still be angry till sun go down, it would have mean that you have held on to the anger based on a particular what? A reason. You've convinced yourself why you have to be angry. And he said, if that's happening, somebody must have come to convince you. Somebody has come to lie to you. Somebody could have told you, well, you know what? Yes, because you are more important than that person. Or you are much more significant than that person. Or who is that person? That person is nothing. How can he talk to you like that? He says, the person that is ministering that to you, he is what? Satan. He said, don't give him what? All Satan looks for is opportunity. All Satan looks for is a place. And we are the ones that give him what? Opportunity when we don't walk in the truth of the word. Can you see? If Satan is looking for a foot, why would Satan look for a foot until you're angry? Why can't he just put his foot in like that? Don't say he can't. Because he's lost the power. Satan lost the power at Calvary. So all the devil is looking for are just loopholes. That's why he says if you're angry and your anger can be sustained, it would have mean that Satan took advantage of that what situation. Don't give him what? A foothold. How does this apply to Hebrews 2:14? It would mean that in our lives, Hebrews 2:14, 15, it would mean for those of us who are going through any form of affliction at the moment, for those who have been attacked on every side by the devil. You think it's the devil. This is what it does. Every time you go through an experience, just like this Ephesians 4:27, what Satan is trying to do is take what? Opportunity of that experience. That's all it does. That's why 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, we are not ignorant, watch that, 2 Corinthians 2:11, we are not ignorant of the schemes, the methodia of the devil. Let's see what? Takes opportunity. That's all it does. So every time you go through any form of experience, you have a kind of dream, what Satan does is, he waits to see how you think about it. And as long as you say, well, I think this is something that is running through my family that wants to destroy me, or this is something that is going to destroy my life, or this thing will affect my job. As long as you take on that, what Satan does is kicks in and takes what? Opportunity and tells you, yes, you cannot make it. Yes, can you see why you can never succeed? Can you see why because of the kind of dream you had yesterday, you will not make it on your job today? Even if you have an interview tomorrow,
Your interview is spoiled because of the dream you had yesterday. What Satan does is what? Take what? Opportunities. The Bible says, don't give him a foothold. How do you give him a foothold? If you don't walk in the truth of the word, you give him a foothold. That's why all he does is throw something at us. He throws it at us. And what he does, he lies about the reality of the word of God in our life. So don't forget this. The devil merely is an advantage taker. Ephesians 4:27 tells us that. He takes advantage of the situation and he throws lies. So it means all Satan does is strengthen whatever perspective people have taken already. That's why he says, if you're angry and you have your anger going till sundown, it would mean that Satan will take what? Opportunity of the situation.
Yes.
We have done now is to show you how the fact that the enemy we are fighting is an advantage taker. It doesn't have what it takes.
That's taking you back to Ephesians 4:27 and adding more ways to it. Let us know that, just like we know that the devil, just we are being instructed not to give place to the devil. We see the devil as the father of lies, and then connecting it with the scripture that has us to take up the belt of truth, telling us that the devil will come to fill our knowledge gap. So some people are saying, I'm not even doing anything, I do everything. Just for you having vacuum of knowledge, gaps, not understanding, you are just inviting the devil, you are just luring him. Because it's the father of lies, going to fill up those places where you don't know, when you are short of the knowledge of God's word on some of those issues of your life.
You cannot afford to take advantage.
Take advantage and fill it with lies. So you cannot have you cannot afford not to understand, not to have the full knowledge of God's will in every aspect of your life. Because if not, you're just inviting, you're enticing the devil, which is the father of lies, to fill up those places for you. So you don't give place by staying ignorant. Part of it is you don't give place to the devil by staying ignorant. You need to
put on the belt of truth.
To put on the belt of truth. That is the thing. You just really need to put on the belt of truth.
And don't feed him. Don't feed him. Because once you have the gap knowledge, he just fills the space. Can you see? Don't feed him. Don't sustain him.
Because this is what is going for those people. Because we might be saying that, okay, yes, people that feel like they have the evidence of the attacks of the enemy. Some people are in the place that they don't even feel the evidence. Well, they don't have the attack. They don't feel the evidence of the attack of the enemy. And that is why we're saying to you that you need to fill those knowledge gaps. You don't want the enemy to take it. You don't let the devil take advantage of that. And feel that you have to be up to speed with all of God's will for your life, for every situation, and what the Lord is doing at the head now. So you really need to understand you don't allow the devil. And you understand this by the belt of truth. You cannot afford to say, I can't afford it. You can't say, I can't. It's not in my timeline now. This is something you need to look into.
Now, let's say this before we go on to the next verse in Luke 22. You can open that Luke 22. Let's say this so that our viewers can get this. Have you noticed then? Have you noticed? For most Christians, I strongly feel the Lord is ministering to someone who is watching this episode, or who is still watching this episode. And this particular person, have you noticed that the more you actually think you are being attacked demonically, or you feel like you have something attacking you or whatever, the more you believe it, the more it happens. The simple truth is, have you noticed Ephesians 4:27? It says, what the devil comes to do is to strengthen that which we have allowed ignorance to feel. Can you see? He says, this person is angry, Ephesians 4:26-27, but the reason why his anger went till sundown is because it's been strengthened.
Reinforced,
because the devil had a foothold. So it would mean that every time, what the devil does is he watches people who have a gap knowledge of the reality of God's word, people who don't walk in truth, who have not put on the belt of what?
Of truth.
All he does is look for that loophole and then strengthen
the
it. If you have some kind of, like I said, you have an experience in the realm of the spirit, and you think that experience, if you have a bad experience, you have a nightmare or something happens, the devil is watching your very first thought process. That's the very first he's looking out for. Devil wait and see whether you would say that, what? Thanks be to God who leads me in what? In triumph in Christ Jesus. Are you going to say that Christ gave me victory? Are you going to say that what? That all power in heaven and earth has been given to you as a child of God? The devil watches. Are you going to say that? Are you going to put on the belt of what?
Of truth.
He watches. And if Satan thinks that, the person says, oh no, the reason I have this dream and that one again is because of my interview tomorrow. That's why they want to attack my interview. Once the devil gets that, now what he does is, he says, let's strengthen this mentality. Let's strengthen it. The Bible says it just strengthens your perspective. So first, it wasn't your problem in the first place. It wasn't the devil's problem. It was a knowledge gap problem. that you had. That was the first problem. There was no belt of truth. That was your first problem. All the devil came to this, let's empower this thing for him. The Bible says it just takes opportunity. 2 Corinthians 2:11, it takes advantage. That is business. An advantage taker. In fact, there was a time the Lord ministered to me about the reason why he actually asked Saul to destroy the Amalekites completely with nothing left. And he said the reason is, if you might be wondering, the reason he asked him to do that is because according to this, if you go and read the Old Testament, he actually said the Amalekites have a form of warfare that's very bad. What the Amalekites do is, when they actually are fighting any enemy, they look for the weakest, the ones who are at the back, you know, the person who couldn't make it, the lame, the disabled, those that could not make it, and to keep up with the rest of the pack, those were the very people the Amalekites attack from the back. That's the kind of warfare. It is a type of the devil. The Bible says all he does is look for a foothold. He looks for opportunities in our life. So the devil wasn't our problem in the first place. Our major problem was a gap knowledge. It was the fact that we were not putting on the belt of truth. And all Satan does is comes in and strengthens that perspective in our lives. That's all he does, an advantage taker. So the Bible says you cannot afford to be ignorant of his schemes.
If you think all we're talking about is just theory, logic, and everything, you're just mistaken. That. Because these things, we are walking in it ourselves, we are walking it. And we have seen the light of God's word liberated us, and we have walked free from what the devil is using and holding over our heads. And that is what we are inviting you to see. Most of the things you have ascribed to the devil, most people, they say ancestral patterns and everything, is just the reinforcing by your gap knowledge.
All the devil does is reinforce it, that's all.
So if you actually believe, if you will not hold on to the belt of God's truth, if you are not going, just like you shared in the beginning, that it's just like our position now. But this belt of truth is what you have all the time. You cannot afford to set it aside.
So stand there for having. It's something that you have.
So it's just your normal regalia.
Can you see? He never said take on the belt of truth, because when it comes to what? Faith, he said take on the shield of faith. But when it comes to the belt of truth, he said having the belt of truth. Have you having your loins girded about with truth? Have it. That's the difference.
So the belt of truth is just your normal outfit. There's nothing. It's just your normal outfit. It's your costume. It's what, as a Christian, that is your costume. As a Christian, that's a Christian costume. That's what you have on it. You cannot afford not to be on your uniform. You cannot afford not to be on your costume. That is the thing. You are called to this, to respond. So you have to have your all the time. Because the devil comes to reinforce what you don't know. And then you'll now begin to establish that. And
establish the pattern. So it becomes,
you know, the ancestral patterns.
A familiar pattern.
Over years.
Over years in the family. That's
so
how it works.
Begin to believe that is it, and that is it, and that is it, and that is it. You'll still be praying the same prayer your parents have been praying before.
And it goes
in cycles. It goes in cycles. And if you're not careful, your children and grandchildren will be praying the same prayer.
Praying the same prayer.
Because you could have found out that what you're praying to, your parents might have prayed those prayers. Some of you, even you are praying with them before, and you started praying, your children have started praying this kind of prayer, and to go on in cycle just because of the knowledge gap that the devil is reinforcing.
Easily come to strengthen.
Because we are not taking cognizance of the fact that we have to have the belt of truth. It's part of our uniform all the time. Mm-hmm. It's every day. That is, we are filling ourselves with the knowledge. We have God's knowledge in every situation. Because some people, the devil is taking advantage because they don't even understand. They do not accept the part of the healing, you know, part of all the benefits of Christ.
And it takes advantage.
It takes advantage of that in that area. You feel that the devil cannot hold them in some other areas. That is how the devil is. You just look for that part. Because some people feel like, hey, how can the devil with all that I have known? No, he looks for the ones you don't know. That gaps. So some cannot hold their sins on them because they know what Christ did for them. They understand that very well. But they don't know how to walk in divine healing. So the devil comes to that and reinforces it over the years. And it becomes the cycle and deliverance. And they don't even understand everything messed up. And they don't even know, is it the devil, is it the wise and the scheme? And that is what we're doing with Exposé, filling those knowledge gaps, trying to encourage you today, if you will heed, to take the belt of truth. Is your uniform, is your costume.
In fact, we are pulling the rug from the feet of the devil. Can you see? We are the ones that feed him with opportunities. Can you see that? We feed the devil with opportunities. So and the Bible says the only way to stop feeding him is just put on the belt of truth. I mean, that's it. There's nothing to actually feed him with. There's no loophole. There's no gap for him to put his foot on in there.
Now look, truth is costly, because like they said, truth is costly in the sense because you have to go and to understand. You have to look. Set
yeah, the Bible says in John 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word
is truth.
It's truth.
That's that the word, is the of, word God. Of God. Is truth. So you really have to. You
the
may
word
like
is
to.
Truth.
You might like to go to a religious places where they entertain you. You know that kind of thing, make you feel good and everything. But that is you have to look for where truth is.
Mm.
So it's not just truth on the surface. You need to. You know, sometimes when you're getting to get a truth of a situation, they have to dig deeper, investigative journalism, and so. So you really have to dig deeper and look for the truth of God's word and make sure that you are standing in truth all
about
the time.
Every situation.
In all situations, you don't allow the devil to use anything, any information, because it's a battle of information versus information. The devil is using that information on you. He's holding something on you, and you're going to liberate yourself by the information that, of that you know. And that's why the temptation of Jesus was, he said this, I said this is it, as it is
can
written.
You see, the word liberate yourself doesn't really mean that you want to destroy the devil. Hebrews 2:40 says, he is destroyed. But it's throwing something. How do you manage it? And that's the very thing we've come to minister to you about. What is throwing at you?
And that's the new warfare in this 21st century, is warfare of propaganda and the rest. So
that's
the devil has his propaganda, you have propagandists. You have propagandists, even some of them, they are even religious people, they are propagandists, they are working, they are reinforcing the work of the enemy because they are not speaking God's truth.
Anytime with the belt is not there, the devil takes advantage. That's all it does. An advantage taker. That's it.
And so what you need again to combat that is the knowledge of God's word, is the information that you have of God's word.
That's
and
it.
It's just a battle of information. And I hope that our viewers will be able to understand what this battle of truth is. And it's the first principle.
It's the very first principle. In fact, if somebody told you there's a familiar pattern in your family, that people generally don't do this or don't do that in your family, and they say, well, it's a family pattern. Now, if somebody says that to you, now the question is, what is the truth of the word? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Can you see that? From verse 17 to verse 23, we simply tell you, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If you check the Greek word for that creation, it's a new species. Can you see that? If you do biology, it's a new species.
It has never existed before.
So, all things have passed away, all things become new. Now, that's the truth of the word. But the devil waits to see whether you're going to put on that belt.
We acknowledge that.
Or not. He waits. And as long as you say, well, I think it's a pattern in my family, I'm going to have to pray against it. If not, it's going to happen in my life. Of course, the devil says, well, this one's actually accepted the fact that it's not even a new creation. He doesn't even believe the fact that it's a new species. And he said, let's strengthen that mentality in his life. Let's strengthen it. And let's enforce that. That's all he does. Looks for the foothold and puts his foot there. And that's what the Bible tells us. Now, before,
I think we cannot go on with that because we're just going to round off with this bit of truth. And I want to, our viewers to remember how we started and how we got into the place we're trying to establish to take you off the wrong fight and to know to get you into standing to do all. I'm doing all in the first principle is a bit of truth. And you know, beyond not even be able to liberate yourself, you need this bit of truth to fight again. You know, you need this bit of truth to stay in shape. You know, some people are unshapely with you know, with all this information, and you need the belt of truth is to hold you the reins, to hold you together, to hold your seat of emotions, to hold your seat of appetite, hunger, and everything, ambition, everything together from your loins. So you need to be guided, you need to be kitted, you need to be smart for what you are called to, and that is what you need the belt of truth for. And so it's the first principle. I want our viewers to think about this, to not take time to reflect on this and take time to work on this and feel up and understand. The wise of the devil is just the taking the opportunity,
advantage taker,
knowledge gaps, and everything. And you know that why you need the belt of truth. I don't know if you want to add something about the belt of truth, but I don't think we can go beyond that.
I mean, in summary, viewers, we've established one thing from the word, and the fact is, Hebrews 2:14 says, the enemy has been destroyed, but it says, we need administration so that we'll not be still being what bondage. And the reason why we're still in bondage is because of what the enemy threw at us. That's it. And that's the very thing that Christ has come to minister to us about. And the word of God says, unless we take on the belt of truth, the truth of the word of God in every situation, in every experience, what the devil does is he waits behind and looks for any foothold and then takes advantage and strengthens the perspective. So let's say this. The devil cannot make anything happen in your life. We have given too much power to Satan. He has been overrated. He cannot make anything happen in your life. All he does is lie and deceive, as his name says, Diabolos, to strengthen every loophole that we created because we didn't put on the belt of truth. What is the belt of truth? The word of God in every situation. The truth of the word in every condition, no matter your experience, is the belt of truth. I repeat the word no matter what your experience. You cannot be an experiential Christian who actually tries to validate the word with your experience. No, the word must validate your experience, not the other way around, which is what some people try to do today. And that's why we open up the place for the devil.
So thank you for joining us today. We are blessed that you were able to join us. And so we do hope to see you tomorrow, 9 a.m. UK time, as we continue on this series.
Now, you don't want to miss this, because this is the reason. The Bible says, the only guarantee you have to stand, I quote Ephesians 6, having done all, to stand. That means, having not done all, no guarantee to stand. You want to listen to every single reamory. Having done all, Your guarantee to stand is based on having done all, not most, all.
So find time to listen to this.
9 a.m. UK time, we'll be here tomorrow morning.
So find time to listen to that tomorrow. And if you cannot make it, you just know that you have something waiting for you to listen to. It's a must now, as you can see, if you really want to stand. Who doesn't want to stand?
But having done all.
So you really want to stand.
All must be done. Not most of them.
Part of the all. You really want to know what the all is.
All must be done. Not most of them.
Continue tomorrow. So if this blesses you, we'll like you to share it. And if there are all these Nicodemus, we know that you're there. So you can secretly share it too, as you get secretly blessed and, you know, everything to God's glory. And so tomorrow, we expect to see you again. And so if this blesses you, please pray with us. We are talking about prayer now. You can pray one prayer that somebody prayed for us. He has been praying for this for us in 2 Thessalonians 3. Luke chapter 2, that was telling us that we should pray that God should make this word go viral, the gospel should spread. And then it's only that people will honor God's word. Today we've been seeing people honoring men of God. Fine, it's good. We say we should honor those people, that we should even give them double honor, those that labor in words. But people honor those people, men above the word of God. Just don't want people to just hear this alone. We want them to honor God's word. As in they show the honor. And the Lord will deliver us from unreasonable men, people that resist God's word. So you can pray with us. We are talking about prayer now. We're talking about New Testament prayer. So we invite you to pray with us and pray for us in this program. So we see you 9 a.m. UK time tomorrow. So what do you want to say?
Well, stay blessed. God bless.
Stay blessed. Share it with your contact. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.